Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. To the children of Israel, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on earth, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you were called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your grounds, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail, if you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them. You will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods or serving them. We're going to watch a brief clip from Saturday Night Live, and it's an oldie but a goodie, and so just pay attention to this for a moment.
Oh, I just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Huh. Let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in Chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, if you don't have the money, don't buy it. Along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
I don't know if you watch much of Saturday Night Live. They do some things very, very funny, and other things they are very, very crass and off-color and not very good. But, you know, if I can tell you one thing that is not so funny, it is the stress that comes from financial problems, the anxiety that comes from the bondage of debt. And I recognize perhaps many of you struggle with financial problems. You struggle with the bondage of debt. And that's why we're in this series called The ABCs of Financial Freedom. Last week we talked about our attitude and how that relates to who God is and how sovereign He is over everything in the world, who we are and everything that we have. I do believe what I said last week, that this series could very well be one of the most important series that we've done here. It has the power to change your life. Matthew 6:21 says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus says, if we want our hearts to be in the right place, then we have to put our treasure in the right place. We have to learn how to manage our money, manage our material possessions, if we want to draw near to God. Psalm 84:11, read that verse at the end of the sermon last week, says this, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." We covered three lies last week that sound like truth. Three lies that sound like truth. First of all the church does is talk about money. Second of all, that money and material things can satisfy me. And third, it's my money and I can do whatever I want with it. Those are lies that sound like truth. We also quickly covered three truths that sound like lies. God determines the amount of money I earn, not me. God has the right to dry up my income at a moment's notice at his discretion. And also that giving to God is the first way out of my financial problems. These are things that are absolutely true. They are biblically true, even though they are radically opposed to what society would have us believe today. They are opposed to what we've been brought up learning. So ultimately, last week, we talked about our attitude and how we need to have an attitude check about our money, about our material possessions, and who God is. This weekend, we're going to look at the second facet of this, the second step, and that is to avoid the bondage of debt. That's what we're going to be talking about today, avoiding the bondage of debt. If we want financial freedom in our lives, we've got to figure out how to avoid the bondage of debt. Now, unfortunately, America is addicted to debt. I don't think I can say that too strongly. America is addicted to debt, including Christians who find themselves living a debt-based lifestyle. I got on Google yesterday and I searched for the national debt clock. And our federal debt yesterday afternoon was $17 trillion, $743 billion, $41 million. That's about $55,000 per citizen, or $150,000 per taxpayer. It's a real-time clock that's always advancing, and with every second, it was advancing $10,000. $10,000 added to our federal debt per second. Now, before you say, stupid government, recognize the problem doesn't end there. It's the citizens as well. We are addicted to debt. The total personal debt for U.S. citizens is almost as much as the federal government. David Rosenberg, a respected economist, said this. He said, the ratio of household debt to disposable income is up from 30% in the 1950s to 125% today. It hit as high as 139%, in 2007. Well, the average American household has three active credit cards and about $15,000 in credit card debt, $150,000 in mortgage debt, and over $30,000 in student loans. That's the average. We criticize the government, but the reality is we aren't doing much better oftentimes. The government spends more money than they have to spend, but the reality is we spend a lot of money that we don't have as well. We are addicted to debt. Now, the last few years have been somewhat of a wake-up call for many people. And for many people, they've continued to press that snooze button, just like Monday morning when you've got to get up and go to class or go to work, and you press the snooze button, and you press it again. And again, and again, but eventually somebody's got to wake up and they've got to go to work. Eventually somebody's got to wake up and they've got to go to class. And I've got to tell you this morning, someday, eventually, we've got to wake up and tackle this issue of debt. This bondage of debt. Debt is a subtle but deadly trap. I mean, picture an animal walking through the woods and they're not going to see the trap. They don't hear the trap. They don't sense the trap or feel the snap until it's too late. And when it comes to debt in our lives, oftentimes we don't know what we're doing or how bad things are until it's too late. We are masters of talking ourselves into things, masters of convincing ourselves that everything is okay. We lived in Missouri for a few years after our time in Mexico, and I like to ride motorcycles. I do. And we were in a pretty good position, and my wife really wanted me to have this motorcycle. And so there was a 2008 Suzuki B-King, and it was brand new, 2 years old. They didn't sell very well. Suzuki took this Hayabusa motor, 1,340 cc's, out of a Hayabusa, and they put it in a different type of bike, and it was made for taller riders and that sort of thing. And I was interested. It was unique. It was different. And so I wanted one. And again, we had the money, but it was in savings, it was in investments, and we didn't want to touch that. But my wife really wanted me to have this motorcycle. Brand new. I've never bought anything brand new before. Maybe a computer or something. But so I bought this motorcycle, and I borrowed $8,000 to buy this motorcycle. I borrowed $8,000 from my parents to buy this motorcycle. And you know, I rode that motorcycle 6 hours home. It was 30-some degrees when I left the dealership. It was 50-some degrees when I got home. And I was cold. And I rode that motorcycle for almost 2 years. And I loved it. It was fun. It was great. It was fast. It was real fast. I won't tell you how fast I got that motorcycle to go. But unless we're in private conversation. But either way, and it was a one-time occasion, okay? It was fun. But 2 weeks later, a month later, when I had to send that first check off to mom and dad, and months later, as I was still sending a monthly check to mom and dad, it was a quick reminder that motorcycle was not mine. I owed a debt on that. You know, it was great fun. It was a great stress reliever, but it was not mine. And yet my wife and I, we had talked ourselves into that's a good thing, and she enjoyed riding it with me, but we talk ourselves into things that, oh, it's okay. It's a good deal. It's a unique situation. It's different. This will only happen once. And you know, we sign on that dotted line, and then a day later, a week later, a month later, we're making payments on it, and that's when reality tends to set in. And we can convince ourselves this is a good thing. This allows us to do something that otherwise we wouldn't be able to do. Or this debt allows us to have something that otherwise we wouldn't be able to have. We are masters of talking ourselves into things. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, King Solomon says this about debt. My son, if you've put up security for your neighbor, if you've struck hands in pledge for another, if you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you've fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Eyelids, free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. These verses are about getting out of debt and how focused and how intentional, how quickly to take care of that, to get to a place where you are living debt free. And I do believe God wants His people, He wants you, He wants me to be debt free. Each and every one of us, without exception. Likewise, when we look at Deuteronomy 28, the verses I read at the beginning of our time together. It's easy to see God wants His children to be debt free. He wants His people to be debt free, no question. And if we truly want financial freedom in our lives, then we need to honor what God wants for us and work to be debt free. Now, undoubtedly, some will say, Seth, that's in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy's in the Old Testament, and you know, we're a New Testament church, and so none of that technically applies to us anymore. I just want to tell you, when you read the New Testament, and you read Paul, and you hear Jesus talk about Scripture from the Old Testament. They're pulling it right from the Old Testament. Paul even says in 1 Corinthians 10, now these things, he's talking about things that the Israelites were going through as they wandered around in the wilderness and other situations. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So in other words, when God set all this up, they were like the beginners, the pioneers. And now that we are here, now that we are a New Testament church, we have the blessing of history behind us, we ought to be doing so much better than they did. And so Deuteronomy 28, verse 2, you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. It goes on to define the blessings. It says your towns, your fields, your children, your crops will be blessed. It says your storehouses, which perhaps a present day application, your church. That's what the word storehouse refers to. It will be full. The Lord will give you prosperity. He will bless your work and you will be lenders instead of borrowers if you obey the Lord your God. Verse 12 of chapter 28, he says, you will lend to many nations but will never need to borrow. Say that with me. Never need to borrow. Come on, guys. One more time. Never need to borrow. How many of you would like to be a lender instead of a borrower? Anybody out there brave enough to raise their hands? Who would like to be a lender instead of a borrower? How many of you would like to have the resources to lend to those around you instead of having to borrow from those around you? Wouldn't you love to be able to get out from under the bondage of debt, to have financial peace, to be able to be radically generous to those around you? Isn't that something that I hope that we could desire to be? Can you imagine? I've got to tell you, Dana and I are very, we're blessed, privileged, whatever you want to call it, lucky perhaps. We've been married 14 years now. And we both grew up in homes where our parents experienced some poor financial decisions when they were younger. So when my parents were newly married, they got themselves into some problems with debt. Dana's parents did as well, and they learned from that. And they moved forward. They put God's principles into action, and they learned from that, and they instilled those principles in us about credit cards and paying them off each month, about minimizing debt, living within your means. The only debt that we currently have is the mortgage on our house. And it's a 15-year mortgage. We have 13 years left of that. We've chosen to live within our means. And it's not perfect. We make mistakes. And there's a month here or there where we have to cinch the belt in just a little bit more to stay ahead of our goals. But we do that because we want to give to God. We do that because we want to be able to be generous with people around us that find themselves in need. We want to be able to support global missions around the world. Those are choices that we've made, and much of it is because of how we were raised and those principles instilled in us from an early point on. But have you ever imagined what it would be like to be debt-free? Many of you are thinking, well, I am. I am. But how amazing that would be to be debt-free. What could you accomplish if you were debt-free? Could you just dream for a moment? If you're currently saddled by debt, what would life be like if you were debt-free? How could you differently take care of your family? Your parents? Your children? Your grandparents, perhaps? Your grandchildren? Think of what a church could do if everyone in the church were debt-free. The influence they could have around the world. Ministering to the thousands of people here in Junction as well. Perhaps we could help children and teenagers, widows and widowers, single moms, single dads, struggling parents. What we could do for orphans and the rest of our community. Do you know what the answer is? What you can do when you're debt free? Anything you want to do. Anything that you believe God wants you to do. When we're not saddled by debt, when we don't have the bondage of debt hanging over us, we are free to do whatever we feel God is calling us to do. In our church, in our community, whatever that looks like. But the reality is that we can't do anything we want to do. The reality is we can't even do some of the things we believe God wants us to do because of our debt. Because of our miserable, worthless, life-killing, joy-stealing debt. Dave Ramsey has built a program called Financial Peace. And he says this. He says, many people buy things on the lay awake plan. You catch that? The lay awake plan? If you continue to live a debt-based life, you will lay awake many a night, stressing and anxious about your finances. Dave Ramsey also says, debt is normal, be weird. Larry Burkett, who started a movement some years ago to get back to God's word for principles about money management, had this to say in a book called Debt-Free Living. He said this, regardless of how it seems today, debt is not normal in any economy and should not be normal for God's people. We live in a debt-ridden society that is that is now virtually dependent on a constant expansion of credit to keep the economy going. This is a symptom of a society no longer willing to follow God's direction. And that, that's where we're at. Is this yours, Joey? Okay, all right. Barry Cameron is a preacher down in Dallas, Texas area, and he says this about debt, D-E-B-T, dumb explanation for buying things, or don't even buy that. He also likes to talk about cash, C-A-S-H, cash always saves heartache. Friends, listen up. If you want to save heartache, then you need to avoid the entrapments of debt. And this morning, I want to give you seven things that you need to know about debt. Here's the first thing. Debt affects everything you do. Debt affects everything you do. Especially affects your attitude. I mean, if the government comes along and says, hey, you owe more taxes, you didn't pay enough taxes. If you're debt-free, you write a check. If you're not debt-free and you're saddled with the bondage of debt, you say, I've got to hire an attorney or a lawyer to figure this one out. If the church is moving forward and they're growing and things are happening and it's exciting and you're debt-free, you want to be a part of that. But if you're saddled with debt, oftentimes when the church asks about some needs and things going on, the comment is, honey, we need to find a new church. All this church ever wants is our money. Debt affects everything we do. But it especially affects our attitude. Number two, debt is discouraged in the Bible. It is not forbidden, but it is discouraged. There are three truths about debt in Scripture that are noteworthy. First of all, the Bible permits God's people to lend to one another. When you read in Deuteronomy 15:2, it talks about lending money to other people, other Israelites. That it's okay, it's not, you know, it's discouraged, but it's not forbidden. Second of all, the Bible forbids charging interest to the poor. And you can find that in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Third, the Bible is clear that the lender is the one who is in charge of your life. Proverbs 22:7 says, and just as the rich rule over the poor, so the borrower is servant. And that word servant can also be interpreted slave. The borrower is slave to the lender. Now, do you ever feel like you're a slave to your debt? Have you ever felt that way? Do you know why you feel like you're a slave to your debt? It's because you are a slave to your debt. Debt is not forbidden, but it is discouraged in the Bible. Number three, co-signing a debt is stupid. That's a strong word. I can tell you this, if you visit Mexico, do not use that word there. It is much stronger there. Just trust me on that. Why is co-signing a debt stupid? Here's why. Because the bank says that person cannot afford that loan. And if the bank says they cannot afford the loan, then why in the world would you promise to pay it off when they most certainly default on it? Because they cannot afford the loan. If they could afford the loan, then you wouldn't need to co-sign it in the first place. Proverbs 22, 26 and 27 says this, don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or to put up security for someone. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched out from under you. Number four, debt is biblically allowable for 7 years. 7 years. There is no long-term debt in Scripture. Deuteronomy 15:1 says, at the end of every seventh year, you must cancel the debts of everyone who owes you money. 7 years of debt, not 15, not 30, not minimum payments for the rest of your life. 7 years. Well, why was that? Why does it say that? Well, God wanted the ancient Israelites to prosper as a people. Not just individually, not just as each one perhaps succeeded, but as a people, as a community. He wanted the Israelites to prosper. And instead of practices, lending practices and banking practices that would put them into poverty, he wanted them to prosper. And so this was part of his teaching. Number five, debt should be canceled as quickly as possible. Audience participation again. Everyone say canceled. Canceled. One more time. Canceled. The Bible doesn't say that debt should be ignored, walked away from, declared bankrupt, or paid minimum, but paid off. Psalm 37:21 says, the wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers. And when it comes to money, the Bible does not mince words. And I think there's a reason for that. Debt should be paid off as quickly as possible. Because when a Christian defaults on their loan, it reflects poorly on the kingdom of God. And that's a big deal, friends. Debt should be paid off as quickly as possible so we can be debt free. We can be free to do whatever it is that God is calling us to do or be in our life. Remember Proverbs 6:4, where Solomon talks about paying off debt. And what does he say? He says, don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do. There's a sense of urgency there. Number 6, Jesus endorses investing and banking as a way to build wealth. He endorses that. You can look in Matthew 25. There's a parable of the three servants. Perhaps many of you are familiar with it. But Jesus tells this story of three men who had been entrusted with bags of silver by their master. He was going on a long journey. One soldier was given 5 bags. Another servant was given 2 bags. And one servant was given 1 bag. And they were asked to steward it, to care for their master's servant. And so the first 2 servants, they went and invested it. And they actually got a 100% return on their investment. But the third servant, he buried his bag of silver in the backyard so that he would be able to give it back to the master upon his return. He was fearful of the master, unwilling to risk his master's money, so he simply buried it in the ground. And the master did return. And when he returned, the first 2 servants were rewarded for earning a great return. But the third servant, he was fired for earning nothing. And in Matthew 25:27, the master demanded of the servant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gained some interest on it. Now there are many spiritual principles that can be drawn out of this parable in Matthew 25. But one of them, at the very least, is that it is okay to leverage banks and investments to build wealth. Investing and lending is one of the ways to build wealth. Number 7, God desires for his people to be lenders, not borrowers. Again, we saw that clearly in Deuteronomy 28:12 about the nation of Israel. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens. He will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. He promised the Israelites that they would be lenders instead of borrowers. And that's what he promised his people in ancient times. I believe it's what he still intends for his people today. The church is to set the example. The church is to lead the way, and not just on spiritual things, but on all good things. Art, innovation, science, creativity, education, health, financial things as well. Whatever it is, the church ought to be the role model. We have the guidebook. We ought to be the role model for the rest of the world. Again, Barry Cameron down at the church in Texas says the church ought to be the best run institution in town. Christians ought to be the best money managers on the planet. But you know what? That's not going to happen until we can get ourselves out from under the bondage of debt and learn to live debt free. We've got to unburden ourselves from that bondage with the purpose of being free to do anything and everything God wants us to do. Well, you might be sitting here this morning and say, well, yeah, how do we do that? Well, I've got 3 things I'm going to share with you. And you know, they're not 3 simple steps. They're not 3 easy steps, but they are 3 important things we must do if we're going to become debt-free. Here's the first thing. Give to God first. You know, we talked about that last week. It's all about our attitude and understanding God is sovereign. He is sovereign. And when we follow His principles, He will bless us. Don't penalize your giving to God to pay for anything or to pay off anything. Remember that giving seems to be, at least biblically, giving, being generous, seems to be this spout where God's blessings come out. Number 2, stop spending money you don't have. It really is that simple. If you don't have the money, you don't buy the material. If you can't afford your lifestyle, then we need to lower our cost of living. Maybe we don't go out to eat. Maybe we change our cell phone plan, or maybe we cancel that cable bill, or internet, whatever that may be. The average family, I'm going to throw this out, the average family could probably save $300 to $500 a month, seriously addressing just those 3 or 4 areas. Stop using payday loans. Stop using credit cards and then not paying them off each month. Stop using rent to own. Stop spending money you don't have. Number three, we've got to learn to live on less than we make and then paying off our debt with the rest. After you give to God, you pay your mortgage, you pay your monthly bills, you buy your food, your necessities, and then you pay whatever else is left against your debt. And you might be saying, well, I don't even know if I'm going to have any money left over at the end of the month. Then you're probably not living on a budget, are you? Dave Ramsey talks about a snowball concept. And he says to take all the leftover money that you have at the end of the month and to apply that towards the smallest debt. Well, why? Because you need some encouragement. You need some momentum building. And when you pay that towards the smallest debt, you get that paid off faster than a much larger one. And you move on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And as you free up that money you've been paying over here, you can pay off the larger ones even faster. And you're excited about it. It's a snowball concept. But the point is, whatever it takes, attack the debt. Live on less than you make, and then take the rest and apply it towards your debt. Give to God first. Stop spending money you don't have, and then learn to live within your means. That's how we get out of debt. It will take time. It will not be easy. Perhaps there will be some arguments if you are involved in a marriage relationship managing your finances together, but you've got to be on the same team and the same page. It can happen. There's no question that we can get out of debt. There's no question it is attainable in your life. There's no question God wants you to be out of debt. We read about it over and over and over in His Word. So here's the question. If God did everything He could do to help you get out of debt for eternity, because that's what He did, right? I mean, we have an unpayable debt. No way we could possibly pay for it. And God did everything for us. He sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to die on the cross to pay the sin debt, the eternal sin debt for us. If He was willing to do that, why wouldn't He be willing to help us with our finances as well? But we've got to be willing to follow His principles. We have to trust in Him. Whatever He says, we have to trust in Him. If we have to cut back here or there, we have to trust in Him. If we have to stop spending money we don't have, we have to trust in Him. He says He wants us out of debt. We have to trust that. Last week we talked about our attitude. Attitude. How is our attitude? Is it in check about our finances, about our possessions, our resources? Am I honoring God with those? Am I recognizing His sovereignty, that the world and everything in it is His? Today, about the bondage of debt and how to avoid it, how to get out of it and stay out of it forever. And I do hope that you will come back next week as we look at choice and we continue to learn more about financial freedom. Let's pray together this morning.